All right. Welcome back to the Model Counselor Podcast. I am your host, in between, Aubrey Ebony, and this is episode 2 of season 2, and I'm super excited about this. I'm really stoked to be going on season 2, and I promised you guys that on season 2, I would have some amazing guests, and today I have somebody that I've been wanting a podcast with forever. She's an amazing influencer, lifestyle blogger, entrepreneur, boss woman, like just everything, and I know you guys will be excited to hear from this amazing young woman. Her name is Dana Bowden. That's what your Instagram name is too, right? Dana Bowden? Mm-hmm. At Dana Bowden on Instagram. And let me go ahead and introduce you. Say hi to your listeners.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
No problem. So I don't know if you guys have checked out Dana's page. If you haven't, please do. And she has like better hair than me. We have the same kind of hair, but her hair is so much better than mine. And I'm jealous, but she's amazing. So I wanted to start off by asking, you know, like, how did you get into the world of being an influencer? Like, how did you get there?
Yeah, it's so crazy because, I don't know, I never started doing this to say, oh, let me be an influencer, you know? It just kind of, like, happened, you know? The term influencer wasn't even a thing when I started. Yeah. So I started about, at this point, 6 years ago. Hmm. I just wanted to, at first I started a blog with a friend, and we just wanted to kind of share, like, natural hair and fashion. Mm-hmm. We started our natural hair journey together, and, you know, we were just like, hey, let's, you know, start a platform where we can inspire other women to embrace their natural hair and style, that because we felt like we didn't see enough representation of women, you know, that look like us with natural hair and that was just slaying it. And we just wanted to have, you know, provide a platform that will be a source of inspiration. So that's kind of how I started 6 years ago. Then, you know, we just kind of ventured off, wanted to do our own things. And I like rebranded and started my blog, DanaBowden.com. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like from there, I just kind of grew and my platform grew and people were attracted to what I was doing. And here I am as an influencer. Yeah. So, but it never just really started out to say, oh, I want to do this as a full-time job. I had no idea that I could even, you know, make a full-time living from this. Yeah. Whole career. Yeah. So it's just been a blessing. I'm going on, this year would mark 3 years of entrepreneurship, and it's been an amazing ride.
No, that's awesome. That's really awesome. You know, you talk a lot about, or you spoke a lot about, or a little bit about, in between, a lot and a little. I get my words mixed up. About how your initial inspiration behind this was Black women with natural hair with style. Like, that's the original, like, idea you had behind this. And it's awesome to see that that is what your platform is a beautiful Black woman with great natural hair with style. So what are some of your style influences? Or do you, you know, like, inspire yourself?
Yeah, I feel like for me, I just, especially as a mom of two now, my style has definitely evolved. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't really follow a lot of trends. I'm not here for the name brand and designer. Right. I just honestly want to wear things that's comfortable, effortless, chic, I would say, is my style. and I just draw inspiration from Instagram, obviously, Pinterest. Okay. Things on that I see online, but I don't really follow a lot of trends. I just really do what I feel will look good on me and that I like ultimately.
Yeah. And your wardrobe is great. Like, all your pictures on your profile, you look stylish. Thank you. Do you have a stylist, or is this just all
it's
you?
It's just all me.
Look at that.
You know, I'm totally trying.
You look great. You could totally be a stylist. If nobody's ever told you, you can be a stylist. How long have you been natural?
Oh my gosh. I'm trying to think. It's definitely like 7 years at this point. Okay. I think, I don't know the exact date. I forgot the year. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's been a long time. Okay. And I keep my hair short. So like people are like, oh, you've been natural for so long. You know, your hair's still short. It's like, yes, I prefer my hair short, which is crazy because when I started or when I first transitioned to natural, like my goal was to have long hair.
Yeah, big afro.
Yeah, I just wanted, like, I told myself, oh, I want to have Teyana Taylor hair. She had that curly hair back. This was back 6-7 years ago when she had this long curly hair.
I feel like I remember that
I don't
time.
Even know. You probably, this is probably before
she was
your
a teenager
time.
Then,
yeah,
right?
She was like young. But she just had this beautiful, like, natural hair, like Tracee Ellis Ross type curls. And mm-hmm. I just assumed, like, oh, my hair would look like that, you know?
Yeah, we don't know.
That was our, like, goal back in the day when you're going natural. It's like, ooh, I want the hair. You could just throw water on it and it's going to curl up. But girl, no, I was all the way wrong. So I wanted big hair back then. But then once I, like, really got into, you know, the groove of learning my hair, I did a big chop again. And I just really found out that the short style taper fit me the best, and I just keep it like this. I can't see myself growing it out long or anything. Mm-hmm. It'll always have some sort of like short taper.
Yeah. No, I love your hair. Thank you. And also, we have similar hair. You have better hair than me, but
stop.
Still similar hair. So you mentioned Teyana Taylor. Is that the reason you went natural, or what made you go natural?
I don't know. I think it was just a point where I was tired of putting the chemicals in my hair.
Right, right.
My hair was unhealthy and I just really wanted to change. A girlfriend at work, she was going natural, and I actually tried to go natural twice. Like, the first time I failed, I went back to a relaxer. The second time is actually the time I stuck with it. But yeah, I just wanted to, like, you know, have a have healthier hair, and I did it. And like, I'm so glad that I did. It breathed a whole career for me.
No, for sure. You know, being natural, because for me, I've been natural for probably since 2014, I think, is when I first went natural. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was a choice because I was so tired of buying weave. It's expensive to get a sew-in. And you want the good quality hair.
Right, right.
You want the length, blah, blah, blah. But in 2017 is when I really embraced it, and it became a part of me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really fell in love with myself, and I felt sexier with my natural hair than I did with extensions, because I was so fixated on, well, she looks beautiful and her hair is beautiful. So, like, I can't be beautiful unless I'm mimicking that.
Yeah.
And so once I really fell in love with, like, my face structure, that I could see a lot better with my hair. And I was like, hold on, I have cheekbones? Like,
right, right.
I have, like, this, you know, like, you don't see your facial features as, and then I was hiding my big forehead with a bang.
Girl, you don't even have a big forehead. Bye.
I was like, my forehead's big, so I always had this, like, Chinese bang with the,
goodness.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
But, you know, once I really, I started taking photos with my natural hair and my face, I was like, holy nuts. Like, I look beautiful.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I really kind of relate to the natural hair journey and like really discovering what works for it, what your hair is not going to look like.
Because
I thought I was going to get that, put some spray water on it, and you're going to get that beauty. It doesn't work like that for
not
hair.
For ours.
But you don't know that until you do it.
But yeah, I love my hair. I mean, I definitely can't see myself doing it any other way.
Mm-hmm.
Even when I got my hair straightened, or if I had to get like a weave for a wedding, I'm like, I immediately go back to my natural because I just love how I look. It's just like, it's just become my identity, like my signature. So I just love it.
Would you ever change the blonde at the end?
Yeah. I definitely want to do more color. Like right now it's faded.
Okay.
I've had more blonde at, you know, earlier stages of my life, but yeah, I'll definitely add more color at some point, or go dark. I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't see myself doing anything outside of like the brown, blonde.
Kind of keep it in that range.
Because
it complements your skin tone.
Yeah. Like I wouldn't go like fire
purple?
Red or purple. Yeah, no.
No.
It'll stay in the family of blondes.
I love it. It looks good.
Thanks.
So, how would you say being an influencer, boss woman, entrepreneur has changed your life in the last few years?
Oh my God. It has changed my life tremendously. I mean, I just think back to where I started and how blessed I am to just be here in this space, in my home, with my family. You know, being an entrepreneur has just definitely changed the trajectory of my life because I worked corporate America.
What were you doing before?
So I worked at Under Armour in corporate, at their corporate office in corporate communications.
Okay.
So I worked at that company for about 8 years. And, you know, prior to starting my blog and doing all the things that I do online, like my goal was just to kind of move up the corporate ladder.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought like entrepreneurship was even a thing for me. Like my family, there's no entrepreneurs in my family.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, you just graduate, get a good job.
Yep.
You know, it's never like, oh, graduate and start your own business.
Right.
I never even, that wasn't even a
wasn't a thought.
Yeah, not even a thought. Like what? So for me, like graduating from college and getting a great job at a great company, which was like a dream, and to really be in a position to leave that great job and mm-hmm. say, you know what, I'm going to leave this job
right.
and do my own thing. Like, I remember when I told my mom, oh, I'm going to quit and start my own. Like, but she's like, what? Like, no, you got to stay. Like, right. what do you mean?
Benefits.
Yeah. What are you going to do? Like, no, Dana, da, 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 da. She tried to talk me out of it. And usually I like listen to my mom, but I felt it in my gut, in my spirit that like it was time for me
to make a change.
Like yeah. I wasn't fulfilled. I felt like, you know, what I was doing outside of my 9-to-5, I was just so much more happy.
Right.
And, you know, making that leap, I look back almost 3 years in and I'm like, oh my God, I'm so glad I did it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm so glad I bet on myself. I'm so glad I decided to not be scared and right. go after it because yeah. my life is completely different. Like, yeah. I make 5 times what I made in corporate. Mm-hmm. So that's like a thing. But just being able to write my own checks and to say, like, you know, I am just being able to have this life.
You're in control of your
yeah,
own life.
Yeah, I'm in control.
Of your money.
Yeah. And yeah, it's just such a beautiful feeling. And I'm like, I would not be here. I would not be in Atlanta. Right. I would not be here
mm-hmm.
Had I not made that decision.
Yeah. That's amazing. Like, that's inspiring. I know a lot of people, you know, are in college right now and mm-hmm. about to look for that first job. And we're not really taught to like, hey, maybe you want to go the other route of entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
Because it's such a journey. And then you don't really plan. It kind of either happens or you're born into it. It's like one or the other. And
yeah.
if you're not born into it, you just don't have an idea of how to get it started.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do I become an entrepreneur?
Yeah.
So it's amazing to see that you went and took like a leap of faith on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And look at you now in this beautiful yeah. house in Atlanta.
Thank you. But yeah, I don't regret anything. I think every stage of my life prepared me for entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
Even though I didn't know, you know, 15 years ago, 10 years ago that I could be here,
mm-hmm.
it set me up because I look back at the things that I'm doing now in my business
mm-hmm.
and it's like, okay, I learned that from working in corporate.
Right.
I learned that from, you know, playing Division I basketball
right.
and getting that discipline to get
right.
up and do what you got to do. You know, so I feel like every little piece of my journey has set me up for where I am now. And
yeah.
I'm thankful for my corporate job. Cause again, like I said, I learned so much.
Right.
I'm glad I went to college and got my degree. I got my degree in business marketing. So
awesome.
it business marketing in a sense is what I'm doing
exactly,
now.
But for yourself.
Yeah. For myself mm-hmm. and like working with other brands and having a voice and knowing what
right.
works. I feel like I've learned so much. So yeah, I'm definitely thankful for every step of this journey.
That is awesome. That's awesome. Well, I support that. And I know that a lot of our listeners or the people who listen to this podcast are going to take that piece of advice and that story and kind of run with it.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people are in a position where they're not happy or
mm-hmm.
they're trying to work up the corporate ladder and they want something more exciting in life. And
mm-hmm.
so you give people like an inspiration to really
yeah.
like take a chance. You get
yeah.
one life.
Yeah.
And you are living it. Like,
and that's
you
how
are
I
living
feel.
It.
And I feel like, yeah, like you said, you have one life. And definitely, I'm not saying quit your job tomorrow.
Right,
because,
no, for
sure. like, for me, I was definitely strategic and I was smart.
Right.
I saved up and I got to a position where what I was doing outside of my 9-to-5 was replacing it tenfold, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, I knew, like, if I make this jump, I know I'm bringing in the money. So I
right.
wouldn't have made the jump. Just being realistic because I have a family. I have
right.
At the time I only had a daughter, but I was married. I couldn't just jump and like not know if I would get a check in a week. You know,
yeah.
like I jumped because I knew like, okay, I got this coming in.
Right.
I was consistently getting work.
Right.
You know, I had strategy. I had plan behind
mm-hmm.
it. So I definitely recommend, and I tell this all the time, is like, make sure your ducks are in a row
right.
before you go jumping off
make
the cliff.
That leap.
Like,
yeah.
You know, you gotta be smart because you don't want to be poor. You don't want to be broke.
Right.
You don't
no.
want to be homeless.
No, you do not. Guys,
we do not want that. So it's like you got to work to get to a level to where you're like, okay, I'm ready for this. I've
yeah.
set my business up. I did what I have to do. I've been taking it serious.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready.
Yeah.
So I think that's what I did, and ultimately it led me to be successful.
Yeah. No, guys, seriously, like that's a really good point. You know, I know a lot of you are tired of like your 9-to-5 or your 10-to-4 or whatever the schedule is, but be strategic about what it is that you're doing. Like, don't make that jump without knowing how your next check is coming in. Like
yeah.
that's the scariest feeling, especially if you have families to support.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, speaking of families, I wanted to segue into Bryce,
mm-hmm.
right?
My son, yes.
Your newest little addition to your family. how does being a mom help you relate to your followers better? And like, what's the
mm-hmm.
connection there?
Yeah, I feel like just me being authentic with, you know, my mothering, my motherhood has just been relatable to my audience. Yeah. I feel like even for women who aren't mothers or who do not even want kids, I feel like I can be relatable because I'm just showing a real piece of my life and what I'm going through.
Right.
And, you know, I think that has just been so helpful for me in growing my brand is just showing people that I'm relatable. Yeah. I'm a real person.
Yeah.
So like my kids, I have a son, Bryce, he's 7 months, almost 7 months.
Ah.
And then I know it's crazy. I feel like I just had
just,
him.
I thought
like,
you just
what?
Had him. 7 months.
He'll be like one next week,
really
you know,
soon.
Like,
yeah.
And then my daughter, Aria, she's six. And, you know, just being able to show like my life and raising two kids and, you know, running a business has just been super relatable, like I said, to other moms. And, you know, I get it all the time. It's like, oh my gosh, you're a super mom. You're inspiring me. Like, I have no excuses. You're able to get up and do what you have to do with your two kids. I don't even have kids. Like, you're motivating me. So I think, like, just being able to show the real life and not, you know, everything isn't glitz and glam on the gram, you know, like there's real work that goes into it. There's times where I'm frustrated or sad or I'm tired, but, you know, I show that piece and I show that I'm still working through it. And I think that has been, you know, allowed me to really relate to my audience.
No, I love that. You know, being authentic is the best way to be because on social media, you have the opportunity to be whatever you want, quote unquote. But the fact that you're true to yourself and like your journey, your challenges is amazing. And, you know, for me as a person with no kids, watching you have kids and like get pregnant is like, it's kind of like a tool training guide for me, for people who want to be moms. It's like, I see how you did it. Okay. How did she handle that? Okay. After the baby. Okay. Now what? You know, it's like step by step almost. Not that like we're watching, but kind of we're watching.
Yeah.
And it gives us like a sense of hope. Like if I get pregnant, like I feel good about maybe getting pregnant. but I love that. I really, really love that. And so I'm sure that you get a lot of brands that love you for your family page or love you for the family aspect. Or would you say brands contact you for you individually or more for the family view?
I think a mix of both, honestly. I've received campaigns for just myself. I received campaigns with my whole family.
Gotcha.
And honestly, that's like, you know, a blessing for me that I'm able to bring in the people that I love the most into opportunities. And, you know, they love it as well.
They
and
look like,
you
they
know,
love it.
We're getting
smiling.
Money, you know, so it's been great to be able to like really live authentically and share my life and being able to integrate brands into that story.
Yeah. No, it's beautiful. And some of the last few brands I've seen you work with are very like relatable everyday brands, like Always for women who were women. We know. We know what Always is about. And then I saw some family stuff with Kroger. So, you know, just very lifestyle stuff. Very relatable. Nothing that's like not achievable to the next person. You can go to Walmart and get Always pads or tampons. Like that's every day. I go to Kroger to get my groceries. So like I love seeing things that are just like every day. It's not like, oh, here's a flat tummy tea and here's you know, these weird...
You'll never see that.
Yeah, you know, I love like you're just like an everyday woman, but like also stylish with great hair and like making it work.
Yeah, because I feel like the brands that I work with, I actually use, I'm actually, you know, they're present in my household. So it has to make sense, you know? So, and it has to make sense for my audience because at the end of the day, I want to provide value to the people who are following me, my community. So if it's not going to provide value to them, it's not going to provide value for me.
Work.
Like, why am I going to do that? I'm at a point in my career where the money, I don't care about that. You know, I can make money. Like I don't have an issue with that. So it's like, I can turn down, I turn down things every day. If it doesn't align, if it doesn't fit with my brand, with my story.
No, I love that. I love that. I love that. And so it seems like you have an amazing reach. You know, your social media has been growing and brands are kind of coming at you. And this is probably a cliche question, but how has being verified on Instagram changed or has it changed anything for you? Like what what was it like before the verification and after, if there
that's
was a change?
Yeah, that's so funny. I don't know. Nothing really has changed, honestly. And at the top of 2019, that was like my big goal. I'm like, really? Oh, I want to be verified. I know, it's like, my goal, you know, it's just day. Like one of those things, yeah. Where, you know, like when you're an influencer, yes, or you like want that blue online tick presence,
blue check,
like that blue tick kind of
like everything. Good for you.
It just kind of validates, you know, like that, yes, kind of validation. Yes. It's so like,
It's not dumb, but it's
it is.
I know, I get it.
But it's not. Yeah. I mean, we get it. So like I did want to be verified. So it was like a huge moment when it happened. I was like, oh my God. I think when I first saw it happen, like next to my name, mm-hmm, I like jumped around the house.
Freaked out.
I was freaking out.
Did you know it was coming?
No. It happened randomly.
Just out of nowhere.
I looked on my page and I was like, I think I was commenting on someone's picture. And then I posted my comment, and then I saw the blue check next to my. I'm like,
did your heart jump?
I'm like, oh my God! I just started jumping around. I was screaming. Ernest, my husband, he's like, what is going on? I'm like, I'm verified. Oh my God. And he was excited because he knew I wanted to be verified. Yeah. But I mean, it's a moment. Yeah. Of course, it's like one of those, like, you know, just points where you're like, oh my God, that's so right, cool. But nothing has changed, really. I think the only thing that changes the way other people look at you, mm-hmm, is like, oh, she's verified. Mm-hmm. Like, what does she do? Like, right, who is she doing? But honestly, it hasn't like increased my partnerships or right, my money or anything like that. I don't think, yeah, brands don't care about if you're verified or not. It's more so for, I think, the general public.
It's like a social thing.
Yeah, a social thing. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like to say, oh, she must be somebody, yeah, you know. But other than that, it didn't change anything, really.
Yeah. No, I'm excited for you. I saw thank it and you. I was like, good for her. Yes. Another chocolate queen.
Right.
We're doing it. That's awesome. Okay, cool. So I wanted to kind of bring it to a mental health question, because I always try to ask a mental health question. Mm-hmm. And I think we kind of covered the industry questions. You know, I think, yeah, the listeners got a really good idea of kind of who you are in the industry, how you, mm-hmm, got there. And so as an influencer, do you find that there is a good amount of representation of African-American influencers? Like, what is your take, mm-hmm, on mom African-American influencers in the industry, because you're a big face in it per what I see and kind, yeah, of watch. And so do you think there's enough representation in the industry for Black women, Black bloggers, Black mom bloggers?
Probably not, honestly. When I look at my white counterparts, mm-hmm, it's so many more.
Yeah.
It's like ridiculous. Right. And the fact that there's not even, I can't even name on one hand the number of just regular Black women influencers, mm-hmm, that aren't celebrities.
Right.
So I'm not talking about people who are on Love and Hip Hop, right, or, you know, rappers or singers or actresses. I'm talking, right, about Black women like us, yeah, that grew, yeah, their platform. The only one I can really think about is like a Jackie Aina. That's over like a million.
Yeah.
Jackie Aina, Patricia Bright, I think she might be at a million. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. But like just lifestyle, beauty influencers, right. Makeup Shayla, that's one, but it's very, very small. Few. But you, yeah, can name on 100 hands how, yeah, many white women,
I agree,
bloggers there are.
I agree.
Over a million followers. So, and it's not necessarily about the followers, but it's just to show you how small,
yeah,
our reach is.
Yes, I agree.
And how small our community is.
Yes,
yeah. And especially it gets even smaller when you scale down to like Black women with, you know, kids, mm-hmm, and showing it like that.
Yep.
So like Black moms.
Yep.
So there isn't as many as it could be.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Right.
You know, I just feel like it just goes back to just Black women aren't being as amplified as other races.
Yeah.
And, you know, white women are able to grow so fast and get all these, yes, amazing opportunities.
Yes.
And it's like the Black woman, we always have to work 10 times harder.
Yeah.
To get seen and get noticed and, right, to grow.
Yeah.
So it's unfortunate, but that's just what we're accustomed, yeah, to. Like just what we have to do. And,
yeah,
you know, we've learned to just work our asses off,
mm-hmm,
you know, and that's okay.
I agree.
We're going
to
win anyways. Black women are winning.
We are totally
no matter
winning.
Who's leading the pack, quote unquote, mm-hmm, in terms of like followers and reach. Black women, right, are still setting the trends. They're still looking at us.
Mm-hmm.
So I just feel like, you know, I just want to continue to be who I am, mm-hmm, and inspiring and showing other moms that they can do it despite like not getting, you know, as much pub or,
right,
whatever. You can still go out here and do what you got to do and succeed.
Does it ever like negatively impact you? You know, like how you say you can name so many
yeah.
influencers that are not of color that have a high reach and they have mm-hmm. these brands. Like, how does it make you feel when you see the two? Like, you look at your page and you yeah. look at all the hundreds of other influencers that are not of color and how mm-hmm. easy it seems for them. Like, yeah. does it ever get to you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think for me, because I try not to look at numbers so much yeah. and look at what I'm able to do and build
right.
and engage, like, I truly feel like I have a community behind me. Like, yeah. you know, I can talk about something and people actually react and right. move. And that's what I'm passionate about. I can actually bring 100 women into a room by making one post and say, hey, I'm gonna be here. Mm-hmm. Come meet me here.
Yeah.
And there's some, you know, there may be other women that they may make a post and nobody shows up.
Right.
And they got a 500,000 followers, mm-hmm. you know? So I feel like for me, it's just about continuing to focus on building a community.
Right.
And not get too caught up in that, because it can play mind tricks on you. Because I went on a press trip with a brand, this was like 2 weeks ago, and I was one of two black influencers of a group of, I think it was like almost 10 of us, the rest were white.
Mm-hmm.
And they had, you know, 100,000 followers, yeah. 300,000 followers. Yeah. And I'm just looking like, damn, you know, they have a lot of reach, but
right.
the brand still picked me to be here.
Right.
And they picked me here for a reason.
Right.
And I had the smallest reach. Like mm-hmm. I have, what, 75,000 and mm-hmm. everybody else had almost over 100,000.
Yeah.
And at first I questioned, like, damn, you know, I wish I had, yeah, you know, 100,000, you know, I wonder what they think. But they also saw my verification and was like, ooh,
mm-hmm.
nobody else is verified.
Okay, so there's something to say in that
so,
for sure.
So, you know, they were like, wow, you know, how'd you get verified? And I'm like, well, you know, I was featured on, like, major publications mm-hmm. and on TV and, mm-hmm. you know, like, that
real stuff, guys.
Yeah, real stuff, not trying to brag.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, but everybody was super sweet. But, you know, I look at, you know, their reach, and I'm like, wow, you know, and I start to compare myself, like, I wish yeah. I had.
Yep, that comparison to do it too.
You know, the brand, they pick me here for a reason,
right.
and they see what I offer.
Right.
So that's what I try to, like, just focus on what I'm able to control, mm-hmm. which is, like, how I make people feel,
yep.
you know, how I'm able to build a community,
mm-hmm.
and that is going to win over numbers any day.
I love that. I love that. I love that. Guys, you know, it can be hard in this industry because you have, like she said, so many other people that are in your same industry that don't necessarily look like you. And even if they do look like you, you know, you're trying your hardest not to do that comparison aspect. You're trying mm-hmm. not to look at the followers. You're trying not to look at the numbers, you know, but it can be frustrating when you see that, like, man, like, people are growing crazy and I'm not growing.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, remember that you have value and that you have something to offer. And, you know, I started doing this thing to where I don't even check anybody else's social media mm-hmm. until like after 5 o'clock.
Mm.
Because I noticed that the moment I woke up, the first thing, even before my text messages, I check
yeah.
Instagram.
Yeah.
And then I'm seeing all these people do these things. And I'm like, I'm not doing them.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize how it sets a tone for me and my
yeah.
attitude and my mental health for the entire, like, for the day.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I totally stopped doing that and I don't check anybody's social media until after 5 o'clock. And I took practicing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'd find myself opening up the app and looking and I'd be like, oh man, you're in Mexico. Oh, wow. You got published. Oh my mm-hmm. God, you got verified too.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm feeling so bad about myself.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not doing good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so once I removed that, yeah. I removed that aspect and that comparison, it really helped me feel better about my day to day. I feel way more motivated to do what I need to do because, like, it's about me.
Yep.
It's about you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about what everybody else is doing. It's not about what everybody else is making, their numbers. It's about how you're being true to yourself, how you're impacting your own career, how you're growing. It's about you.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, definitely focus on that. Okay, so we've talked a lot about brands and family and, you know, your past, but I'm really interested in your future. So, you know, what is next for you? Do you plan on writing a book? Do you plan on doing, you know, more public speaking? Like, what do you plan to do in the future?
Oh my gosh. That's a good one. I just want to, you know, I've built this amazing community mm-hmm. online and,
yes.
you know, but I don't want to rely on just like this Instagram life. Like, I feel like I don't want to be an influencer forever.
Okay.
You know, I don't
yeah.
want to be a blogger forever. I want to be a legit, real brand owner, business owner,
mm-hmm.
and build out the different levels of my business and brand. So I have my skincare brand that I want to start and expand that. Yeah. Like, I want to really have that going. My daughter, I'm going to write a book with her, help her publish a, write
like a kid's book.
Yeah, kids series.
Amazing.
And expand her brand in that line. And I have other little things that I want to do in between there, but I definitely just want to be able to own my own things.
Right.
And just have my own businesses.
Yeah. So you want to take it off of the concept of influencer and Instagram.
Yeah.
And bring it into the real world.
Yeah.
Get your what would your skincare brand be called? Do you have an idea? Do
you already have all that?
Do you want to tell anybody yet?
Right? Not yet.
Okay. Okay, cool. So I'm excited. I would love to use it. Is it for all skin types or?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. Well, I support it. And then you're going to write a children's book with your daughter.
Yeah.
Self-publisher, you guys are going to find a publisher.
We haven't decided yet, but it'll definitely happen this year.
Yeah.
Soon. I mean, we already started working on it.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm like,
and you can't tell us what it's about yet, right?
No.
Oh my God. So many secrets.
I know. You got to just wait and see. But yeah, we're still working on all of that, but you're going to see it this year for sure.
I'm excited.
I have my Bold Experience event, my women's empowerment and just community building event.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to have that again and just continue to, uplift all the women around me. I want to make people better.
Yeah.
And I also just want to develop a cause. I want to have a mission, like helping people. Like I did the Always yesterday.
Yeah.
Helping, you know, young girls in need. Like I want to continue to do more of that type of stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Making a real world impact, not just a social media post.
Yeah. I want to just be able to do more in my community. Like that's what I'm all about. I want to help change lives.
I love that. Yeah. And you will. I mean, you're amazing. So I don't see any reason. And I support you wholeheartedly. And the people listening support her. Okay. She's amazing.
You.
I'm sure they will. I'm so sure. I think my last question would be, does being an influencer impact your marriage in any way?
Absolutely.
And if you don't want to answer that, please feel free to pick up.
I mean, I'm open book.
Okay.
I think it has its good and bad, you know? I think it's great because this is my career and I'm passionate about it and I love it. And it's allowed us to be here, you know, living the life that we live, which is amazing. But it definitely took some hard work and sacrifices, especially in the beginning when I was growing my business where, you know, my husband is like, why are you always working? Like, you know, come to bed and I'm up late, you know? And, you know, we've definitely had our pain points early on in the beginning, but I feel like now we're in a groove. You know, he understands what I do, especially with me being full time with this now. It's like, okay, this is my business.
Right.
Like, I got to bring this check home.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to be out the house.
Right.
So he gets it. And, you know, we're a team at the end of the day.
That's
you know, we work really well together. But I feel like definitely it impacted my marriage. But I think definitely in a good way.
That's good.
Yeah, in a good way.
That's awesome to hear. I know that sometimes, you know, people who want to be influencers or models have relationships and their partner won't always understand the lifestyle. Or if they do understand, maybe they're uncomfortable. So it's awesome and amazing to hear that you have a teammate in this game.
Yeah. Like, it definitely takes a team. Like, and if you're in a relationship where the person don't get that or don't support you, it's not going to work.
It's not going
to
work.
It's not going to work because you're not going to be able to grow and to do what you love and be able to, you know, if they're not supporting you.
Right.
Like, how are you with someone that doesn't support your dream?
Exactly.
Like, it's just not going to work. Or if if you try to make it work, it's just going to be but
so
much
clashing, so much conflict that
it's
you don't
be
need.
Terrible.
Yeah. Well, definitely take that, you know, information, guys, and do with it what you will, because it's not an easy, you know, it's not an easy lifestyle overall. It seems fun, and it is fun. It has its ups.
Yeah.
But definitely know that it's work, and it definitely has its downs, and you want to make sure that you're doing what is best for you because you get one life. Do you have any last thing you'd like to tell the people that listen, any piece of advice, just, you know, anything to leave them with?
Yeah. I just want to say that continue to walk in faith, you know, believe in yourself and just work extremely hard. Like nothing is going to happen overnight. I think sometimes we get caught up in this like microwave era of like, oh, if I do this one day, I'm going to blow up.
Yep.
Like it's going to take grind. It's going to take grit. It's going to take hard work. It's going to take discipline. Consistency is the number one thing, you know, because you can't expect to have the trophy in the end if you weren't in the gym practicing every single day. Like you have to be willing to work hard and to go after it. So, you know, that's my biggest thing. And I was in the gym shooting every day. Yes, you like, were. In the beginning, like, I was, yeah, that's like a metaphor for both, because I did play basketball. But, like, literally, I was working hard in the beginning, and I'm, like, so grateful that I put in that work. Right. And it was hard work, but, like, I'm thankful for where it got me. So just continue to work hard, have faith in yourself, and bet on yourself.
Oh, she's amazing. Well, thank you so much for taking the time out to be on my podcast.
Thank you.
I, like, admire you. You're like a big sister to me, and you're gorgeous and talented and amazing.
Thanks.
So I appreciate listening to your journey and, you know, understanding your challenges and kind of where you are in this industry. And I just want to say thank you for being on my podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
No problem. I absolutely adore Dana. She is awesome. She is, like, the more, like, adult, mature version of me or what I aspire to be. But it was more than a pleasure getting to chat with her and really get to know kind of the ins and outs of her, you know, development into being a lifestyle blogger. And for that, I hope you guys took a lot of information from. You know, I think a lot about when me and Dana first met and how we met at the Cream of Nature High Honey campaign in Atlanta, Georgia, a couple of years back. And when we first saw each other, I was like, we kind of look alike. This is after they tape up my hair to the similar style that she has, but she rocks it. Killer. I love it. And since then, we connected. You know, she moved to Atlanta, so I had the, you know, amazing opportunity to get to know her better and, you know, kind of understand who she is. You know, like, you see a person on their social media, but, like, who is she really? Who is she? So I hope that you guys really enjoyed listening to us, because I enjoyed having her on my podcast. And I love how authentic she was. You know, she talked about how it can be challenging being an influencer and being in a relationship, because your partner definitely has to understand that lifestyle. And I love the fact that her, you know, husband is very supportive, and they make it work as a family. You guys, please check out her ads or her posts. You'll see how family oriented she is. And, you know, she's self-made. She did this from scratch and not even on purpose. And so that just goes to show what you can do if you have a plan and you have a vision and you execute it. You never know what's going to happen from that. And so for all my, you know, listeners who aspire to be a full-time this or full-time that, just an entrepreneur working for yourself, please make sure that before you make such a big leap, that you have a plan, you are financially okay to make this leap, you know, and you have goals that you set out to achieve to make sure that you are where you want to be in comparison to your job. And so I'm happy she was here to chat it up. Well, that concludes my podcast, guys. I hope you enjoyed listening to that. I thank you guys forever and always for rocking with me this second season of my podcast. I can kind of sing, no, not really. But this is the Model Counselor Podcast. I am your host, Aubrey Ebony. This is season 2, episode 2. And thank you guys for listening.